Mr. Cuban. Boy, we had a great time talking to him.
Oh, and he had a great time talking to us.
And, of course, that led to the whole thing with William from The Benefactor, who is going to pass Mark in the Fortune 400.
Yep. His name is going to be a few names above his.
He said call any time.
He did. He had a ball. He loved talking to us.
With them in the finals, I can't think of a better time than now. And then we've got Brandon Davis's number, too.
Corporate offices for Mark Cuban Company. Please leave a message for MLW Aviation, Radical Ventures, Martin Woodall, or Mark Cuban at this number, and your call will be returned. Thank you.
Okay, this is a pretty decent stretch here, but it's Drew and Mike calling on WRIF Radio in Detroit. And we used to talk to Mark during the Benefactor television show, I think three or four Mondays in a row, when Mark was trying to pump life into that thing. We're desperately trying to get an interview with him for the NBA Finals. Congratulations to him and your organization, by the way, if that's any help. Our number in Detroit is 248. And we promise to pull for the Mavericks if Mark returns this call, which we don't expect him to, but we sure would love to talk to him. Thank you very much, whoever gets this message. Bye-bye. Brandon
sweet.
Davis?
Sweet. Yeah.
What are the chances he'll call?
Sure. All right, good.
Yeah.
If he gets the message, I would say good.
Yeah, if he gets the message, that's the whole key. I agree.
If he gets the message, I'd say it's like 5 and 10.
If some joker intercepts it and calls and goes, yeah, yeah, the other publicist.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And then they won't call with the publicist's number.
Yeah.
He's just nutty enough. I think if we had had him on a couple more times during The Benefactor, we might have been able to scavenge a relationship with him.
Well, the first part truly is.
I mean, it's real friends. Not sure I'm going to ever see him again.
I am 100% confident that
this is Brandon Davis's number. By
I will have more money than the winner of the show. I guarantee it. Something I never told Mark. I don't.
Why did he never tell Mark this?
400. He definitely is going to be a few names beneath me.
Since he's such a big badass, why don't you tell him?
I made some real friends here, and I'm not sure if I'm ever going to
see him again.
That sounds like him.
That's him.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
I want to hear his voice again, just for kicks. I wonder how much he regrets all the fire crotch stuff. Who is this guy anyway?
Well, maybe it's another sales tool. Maybe that's just what it's all about with all these TV stations. They're all looking for buys.
Be listening for Eric Clapton. When you hear Eric Clapton, be caller 35. And you can win tickets before you can buy them for Eric Clapton, Saturday, September 23rd at the Palace. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. And we just got a call back from someone. I don't know. I was optimistic. You were much more optimistic than I was.
Yeah, I really was.
But I am blown away. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking to that special someone. If you were with us earlier this morning, it's one of two people. So after this break, hopefully we'll be talking to that individual.
Lay down, Sally.
All right. It is Eric Clapton. Lay down, Sally.
There is nothing that is wrong.
I want to say like Dolly Parton or somebody goofy like that. Anybody know who wrote Lay Down, Sally?
You've got somewhere to go. Won't you make
we'll figure it out. Anyway, caller 35.
And don't you ever leave.
I bet this thing ain't bad live.
Lay down, Sally.
Eric, September 23rd at the Palace. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. But you can win them before you buy them right now. You call 35. Sports, by the way, brought to you by BD's Mongolian Barbecue. They're grilling this Father's Day. Forget the tire golf clubs. Win Dad a flat top grill. Come into any Detroit area BD's before June 18th for your chance to crown Dad King of the Grill. Now open in Roseville. Be different. Go Mongo. And Tigers, oh boy, what a heartbreaker last night as they're up 3-1, headed into the eighth inning, and son of a gun, two walks with one out. Creedy walks with one out. The leadoff hitter walked as well. And then Rodney gives up a three-run homer to Alex Cintron, his first homer of the year. Tigers go down 4-3, victimized by a home run for the third time in a week. Son of a bitch! Not only that, it hurts us with our skin bet. So, painful as that is, hopefully Tigers can find themselves tonight and pull out this series, because a free day on Mr. Skin is huge for the entire Motor City area. Tigers, as far as all-star votes, only one guy really close, and that's Pudge. He's about 50,000 votes behind Veritek, and he's been about 50,000 votes behind him for a while. Tigers, big draft pick. They draft Andrew Miller, who was the consensus top guy. 6'6", 210. They thought he wanted too much money, so the first five teams passed on him. Now, the question is, does his value go down because he's number six now? Or do they just say, well, that's just because of the money. He would have been number one, so you have to pay him like a number one. We'll see. Tigers have had a hard time signing their last two number ones, but they did sign him, and I don't believe they would have drafted him if they didn't think they could sign him. Yankees up top the AL East by a half a game, 2-1 over Boston last night. Ken Holland will not rule out trades. He says he's prepared to make trades if it'll help our team or help us free up money. I'm willing to explore him. Loss of Fisher to the heart ailment. Fisher has yet to decide on his career. Legacy and Osgood, unrestricted free agents. Holland says he talked with Yzerman the past week, and the two are expected to meet later this week. He hasn't made a decision.
What?
And Carolina also, or rather Edmonton also hasn't made a decision. That is on their goalie, as that disaster in Game 1 has led them to debate Conklin or Markkanen for Game 2. Both of them played some during the regular season with limited success, and after that disaster in Game 1, that thing's wide open. Dwayne Wade missed practice again yesterday, sinus infection, and he should be fine by Thursday. And who is the most overhyped preseason college football team? Since 71, 31 college football teams have graced the AP's preseason top 20, top 25 began in 89, at least 10 different years. Some have routinely lived up to their expectations, rewarding voters by either meeting or exceeding. Many others over the last 35 years have not been as kind to the pollsters. Who are the most overrated and underrated teams? We'll tell you in sports next time. Joe Tarvis, caller 35. He's going to Clapton. Joe out of Ypsilanti. Congratulations to him. And would you believe, a few minutes ago, we got the call back. Hey, it was worth a try.
Oh, man, yeah.
Mark!
Hey, guys.
How kind of you to return our call. I can't believe it.
How could I not?
Well, oh, that's terrific.
We had so much fun in the benefactor days. And, the show, whatever happened to the show?
It went the way of Cedric Sabalos. So.
What do you think went wrong when you look back on it? What would you have done
differently? Oh, my goodness. What would I have done differently? I wouldn't have listened to the producers. I had the guys who put together the show were these English guys who, oh, Mark, you need to, they just had me saying all these things I would never say, doing these things I would never do. And then finally got to the last couple episodes. I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to do it and have fun. And yeah. So I just do it to have fun.
Ass producers.
I thought these people know what they're doing. I'll listen to them.
Right? I guess it's Mark Burnett or Bust,
Yeah. Well,
he's the only one seems to know
but
how to
you strike
to do
me
the
as the kind
thing.
Of guy that doesn't listen to producers, that says, you know what, if I'm going down, I'm going down my way.
Well, no, if there's somebody who, if there's an area that I don't have any experience in, I'll listen to who I think should know what they're talking about until I find out otherwise.
Yeah.
So I didn't find out otherwise soon enough.
Now, did somebody get the money?
Oh, yeah.
Because we never saw that on TV.
Yeah, I don't think they aired the last few, actually.
Well, no, they aired them. They might have not got it in Detroit, but we aired them all. And from Las Vegas, won $1 million. And she got it. I just got an invitation. She just got married. And, once she won that $1 million, she got a lot of attention.
Yeah. Well, we always laugh at the one guy we're always playing this back to, the one guy that claims he's going to be up a couple of names above yours. On the
that guy.
William. His name is William.
Yeah, here.
You had to bring that guy back up.
Here it is right here, Mark.
Listen to this. We've played this probably 200 times on our airwaves. We laugh so hard at this.
I am 100% confident that 1 year from now, I will have more money than the winner of the show. I guarantee it. Something I never told Mark, I don't plan to just make the list of 400. He's definitely is going to be a few names beneath me. The worst part, truly, is that I made some real friends here. And it's
I'm not sure
I'm ever going to see him again.
I can impersonate that guy exactly, which I don't know if that's a plus or not.
Yeah, I wouldn't admit that anywhere in public.
It's too late.
Is he ahead of you in the Fortune 400 list yet?
You better check.
He might be ahead of me in the line at Wendy's. I get some emails from him with some new idea he has all the time.
With ideas?
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my God.
He's looking for financing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Jesus, right.
Oh, that's a problem. How do you shake somebody like that? You want to be nice, but...
You change your number.
I guess you do. That's what you need to do.
Well, congratulations. You must be so excited.
Well, until you brought up the benefactor, I was really...
Hey, at least we got out of the way early.
Exactly.
So, you got to be on cloud nine.
No, well, you guys know the feeling. I mean, it is an incredible feeling. And, you know, we haven't had the trophies and the opportunities that Detroit's had and the Pistons. So this is the first time ever for the Mavs. And it's just been incredible. The whole city is just on fire. It's great.
Yeah, that's really fabulous. And now, you know, to get there is one thing. But obviously, I know you're already thinking it's nothing unless you win the thing.
Exactly.
And what do you think stands in the way? What is the most difficult thing for the Mavericks heading into this series?
Well, just like the Pistons found out, you know, Shaq and Dwayne Wade. Is Dwayne Wade going to shoot 99% or whatever he shot against the Pistons? You know, can we take him from being out of his mind and unconscious shooting to, you know, just reasonable? And, you know, that's going to be key. And for us, we're going to have to push the ball. Something I think we all were surprised that the Pistons didn't do more of, you know, make Shaq run.
Yeah, I know. We did. Well, the Pistons really discombobulated. I don't know what happened to them. It was something in the Cavaliers series, obviously, that they never recovered from.
Yeah, it was kind of like when the Pistons played the Lakers and the Lakers kind of imploded.
Yeah.
It was kind of the same thing. It was bizarre.
Once Cleveland seemed to have our number and we just squirreled out of that series, it seems like our whole swagger was gone.
Yeah.
And we just looked so beatable in the Miami series. We just couldn't hit a shot to save our lives.
Wide-open shot after wide-open shot. I mean, you know, every shot that Chauncey Billups probably hits left-handed with his eyes closed anywhere, any other game, no one could hit anything. It was, you know, I was surprised, you know, all of the folks in our organization wasn't surprised necessarily that the Heat won because they've gotten better and better across the season. But you're right. I mean, Detroit had their chances and just couldn't capitalize.
But, you know, for all the talk about Shaq and Dwayne Wade, the guys that really killed us, and, you know, I hope this isn't true for you guys because we are pulling for the Mavs, is it was really the guys 3 through 8 that murdered us. You know, Jason Williams with 21 in that final game.
What was he, 10 for 10 or 11 for 11?
He made his first 10 shots.
There's just times when guys have games where they'll shoot better in a game than they could alone in a gym. But, I mean, in a game 6 like that, that's incredible.
You know, Walker hurt us badly at times, and Posey hurt us. It was just, you know, we knew Shaq and Wade would score. I mean, Wade was out of his mind in that series. But, you know, game 6, the guy scores 14 points, and if we do anything with Williams, we're in that game.
I know. Or hit your own shots, for that matter. And you know, sometimes you just have those games. And unfortunately for the Pistons, there wasn't an opportunity to get one more crack at them. But, hey, you know, now it's our turn, hopefully.
When you total up the fines, what are you sitting at about now for all your battles with the refs?
1.3.
Is that right?
But, you know, most of that came in the early years, the early days. You know, over the past 4 years, it's probably only been $300,000.
Yeah.
You know, you pulled off something very unique, though. I mean, you seem like the kind of owner who can actually maybe goof around at the shoot-around, and you seem like you're close to the players. Is that just image, or is that true?
No, it's true. I mean, I get along great with these guys. I mean, you know, it's not like I'm calling up Jason Terry and saying, yo, you know, let's go out to dinner every night. But I'll go out to lunch, or I'll go out and get a drink or a dinner with some of the guys, and, you know, over the summer probably more often than during the season. But, yeah, you know, different guys have different interests that I share. So, you know, Jerry Stackhouse is into producing films, believe it or not. And so Stack and I will talk about high-definition video and you know, Final Cut Pro on Mac versus PC, just stuff you'd never imagine talking about. But, you know, if I've got a common interest, yeah, you know, we'll talk. But I get along great with pretty much everybody.
How hard is it to separate the business from, I mean, it all seems like so much fun, and, you know, you guys have finally made it over the hump, but How is it when you get down to the table and you're talking money, or is that just something you do with the agents and the players don't really deal with it?
No, I mean, it's like any business. You know, you guys have to deal with it in your business, and I have to deal with it in all my businesses. You know, you got to separate when someone's asking for money as part of their job versus the person who's doing their job and or just being themselves.
Well, it's funny. Whenever there's controversy involving something surrounding the Mavs, it seems Mark Cuban is always at the center of it
somehow.
Even when the coach's wife is getting into it in the stands with some fan. What was the story there?
You know how it goes. You know, drunk fan stands up for the home team and
okay, but here's what I'm wondering, because, sure. You know, people stand up and, you know, they're at their home floor and I'm sure they're going nuts and all that. Was it one of these things where she was saying, hey, my children can't see, sit down at all times, or was this chick just standing up when no one else was standing up?
No, it was more the sit down, not at all times, but don't stand up all the time.
Uh-huh, and this chick just would never sit down?
Yeah, basically. And it wasn't like she was the only one standing, it was she just happened to be standing right in front of the wrong person.
Huh.
And so it was kind of,
Were the people standing in front of her?
Yeah, but you know what? It was one of those things that happens in every arena where, you know, if you're rooting for the visiting team, people, you know, and the home team folks are standing in front of you, nobody cares. And most people just deal with it and say, you know, that's just the way it goes when you're in a visiting arena. And, you know, Cassandra was just upset. And so I just walked up there and calmed her down, and life went on, and that was it.
But this Phoenix chick, she got kicked out of her own arena, didn't she?
Well, that was for throwing the finger and kind of spilling beer and her jeans were sliding down a little bit too far, and you know it was
what?
It was interesting.
Wow, that sounds very interesting.
You think I went up there just to defuse the situation?
Well, you know something we've noticed, and you sit behind the bench sometimes, don't you?
All the time, yeah.
Why is it we notice this over? It seems like every head coach's shoulder is like the hottest chick in the building.
Well, that's L.A. and Dallas and Miami and most of these cities. Those seats. You're going to find trouble.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, the Pistons, I know when we get further and further in the playoffs, it seems like the talent show for the women just gets stronger and stronger with each game.
It's the same in Dallas, and, you know, people want to see them be seen, and they know they're going to be on TV. And particularly if you sit behind the bench, you know you're going to be on TV if you're in the first row. So everybody's got their own little Jack Nicholson, you know, hey, look at me scenario.
Right.
But, hey, do you have a problem with that?
No, not at all.
It's quite wonderful.
We get about 10 emails a day that say, hey, guys, 10:48 left in the third quarter. Look behind Avery Johnson. Look at that blonde with a big rack.
Yeah, the yellow blouse.
I'll try to set it up for y'all.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah,
the best one was when we were playing in San Antonio, and one of my buddies is Mike Badano. Who plays for the Stars. And he's been going out with Willa Ford, who's she's just... Google her and look at pictures. I mean, unbelievable. And so she's sitting behind the bench. I'm like, how can you bring her behind our bench? You think our guys are going to watch the game? Unfortunately, Avery Johnson doesn't put up with guys, you know, checking out women in the stands. So, you know, we got away with it.
I could not believe to read the other day that was the first time Dirk Nowitzki had not scored 20 points in 43 games.
Dirk is just amazing, and you know he's elevated his game every year of his career, and then he elevates it a little bit more in the playoffs. And this playoff run has just been beyond amazing. I think you know he's proven to people that he should have been the MVP, and he's proven to people that he's truly a top five superstar now. And I couldn't be happier for him. He's just such a great guy.
And what's the history on him? He was drafted by Milwaukee, wasn't he?
It was pre-planned that they would draft him for the Mavericks and trade him up, and we would take Tractor Trailer, and there were some financial incentives involved.
Tractor Trailer for Dirk Nowitzki?
Yeah, it wasn't really that. You know, it wasn't like the Bucks said, oh, we really love Dirk, and then we convinced them to take Tractor. It was the plan was they would take Dirk for us, and we would take Tractor for them.
Is that the biggest steal in modern NBA history?
It's not too far off, but then, hey, we got Josh Howard with the 29th pick, and you guys got Tayshaun with the 29th pick.
Yeah, damn straight.
Yeah.
All the guys here are dying to know because you know we certainly followed you in your bachelor days. Since you got married, is that wiffle ball field still in the living room?
Actually, it is.
It is.
Oh no,
actually,
kidding!
It is, but everything else in the house has changed completely.
Very good. That's impressive. I mean, does she put up a fight over that?
No. And we've got like. Because I've got a little daughter now, and so now it's kind of become her little romping area. And so she's got tennis rackets and tennis balls and everything you can imagine in there.
God, boy, you really take care about, I mean, the stuff like in your house. And the same is true with the locker rooms, with the visitors that you've got, the Xboxes and the plasmas and everything. I mean, that's outstanding. And
well, we try. I mean, we feed the visitors. We, you know, hey, these are 21-year-old kids, 25-year-old kids. You know, you guys remember back. And it's like, you know, I just try to make it easy. You know, we prepare food for them. We have a masseuse and all that. It's like, you know, let's make it easy for them to do their jobs. That way they got no excuses.
Yeah. As far as Shaq goes, how much time is Eric going to see?
Oh, Eric will see a ton of time. You know, it's a different matchup. You know, the Suns didn't play Kurt Thomas for matchup reasons, and Damp didn't play for matchup reasons. But Damp has done really, really well against Shaq, and since he's been with the Mavericks anyways. And he's going to get a lot of time, and it's going to be interesting to see how the games are called. I mean, you guys, you know, saw, you know, how Shaq was officiated had a huge impact on how he plays.
That familiar voice is, of course, Mark Cuban, the owner of the NBA Finals Dallas Mavericks.
Say it loud, say it proud.
I know. God, it must sound nice to hear that.
How are you getting along with Trump these days?
Oh, I don't talk to that dude.
You know, he just wrapped up his apprentice the other day, of course.
Well, he did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not doing that well in the ratings.
No, it's really free fell really all the way down through the ratings. In fact, I don't even think it was a top 20 show anymore, although it placed in the 18 to 49. But
now he's really not self-made, is he? I mean, didn't his father have a pretty big entrepreneurship?
Yeah, but you know what? Who wants to talk about Donald Trump, anyways? You know?
I know.
We see enough of him.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, I know we'll be seeing a lot of you during the finals. Are you going to try to keep a low profile, or you just have a fun?
You know what? I never try to not keep a low profile. I just go in there trying to have fun, and you know. It's such a unique, especially now, it's such a unique experience. Everybody just around the league that are my friends just like, you know what, just enjoy the moment. You know, Del Harris will tell you the stories that, oh, yeah, I've been to the finals. Last time was in 1981, you know, and so you never know when you're going to be back, and we really want to just have fun, and that's what I'm going to be doing. And if someone says, well, you shouldn't be having fun that way, I'm just going to say, watch me.
And how many suites have you snagged for all your buddies?
You know what? It's killing me because in the finals, the NBA takes so many tickets and so much stuff. I'm having a hard time getting tickets for my friends and in Dallas and in Miami. So it's really, really tough.
Isn't that absurd? Hey, of all people.
Well, but you know what? I mean, Detroit seats, what, 22,000?
Yeah, around there.
And so that's an advantage. And you know, it hurts us, but it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. How do you feel? I know you got to go, but I got to ask you, how do you feel about Hack-A-Shack?
I love it.
You do?
Yeah, and I think they should have done it with Ben Wallace more often. And you know, and with Shaq for that matter. You know, people think it's not pure basketball or whatever, but guess what? You know, if a guy can't shoot from the three-point line, you back off of him, right?
Yeah.
If a guy can't hit the, you know, an elbow jumper, you back off of him and force him to hit the jumper. And if a guy can't hit a free throw, you send him to the line.
Well, he's not a complete player. I mean,
it is what it is, right?
It's pretty much that simple. I tell you what I hate, though, and this happened to us in this series, was these intentional fouls, you know, when the ball's not in play and somebody just grabs, you know, the worst free throw shooter on the floor and
gotta
poof.
Do it, though. Then you know what? Then the team's got a choice. Don't put them on the floor or teach them how to hit a free throw.
No, I understand it. I just feel like there ought to be a rule that, you know, it should be an intentional foul and you get the ball out of bounds in college.
But then you just delay the inevitable anyways. Right, so then they say, okay, I'm going to try to take a charge in this guy when he's just running across the court even without the ball. It's not, again, if look, there's a saying that our guys use in the locker room. You know, there'll be a player who says, I was wide open and I took the shot, I just missed it. And then the other guys will say, there was a reason why you were wide open, because they weren't guarding you, because they knew you were going to miss. And it's the same thing. You know, they're just going to not guard a Ben Wallace or a Shaq anywhere outside so that hopefully he'll get the ball. And, you know, we have guys that have a hard time hitting free throws to get a job. And if they just foul them intentionally, then that's our problem. We have to make a choice, but that's part of the strategy. If we were playing Ben and he's only hitting 25% of his shots, the guy is unbelievable as a player, a rebounder, a defender, a shot blocker. But you play to a guy's weaknesses, and if that gets him off the court, I'd fire a coach who didn't do it.
What do you think Ben is worth?
Who knows? He's a phenomenal player, but it really depends on how many teams have cap room. I haven't gone through and done the final analysis after, and we'll have to see if there's any trades come draft day and everything. But it's not about necessarily just about how much a player is worth. It's about how much cap room is available from how many different teams.
How much do you think the free throw thing hurt him with his performance in postseason this year?
It did, but it's also something you would think he can fix.
You would
think so, right?
You would think, yeah.
But you know, we've had players. You know, we have a full-time free throw shooting coach.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he takes videos. We don't just say to the player, "Go shoot and get better." We take videos of the players, and you know, we've had guys who shot under 50% and no longer shoot under 50%.
Well, man, we need to get a hold of that guy.
No, we've got him locked up.
Hey, Mark, thanks a million for the time. I wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate it. Thank
you. Great. Hey, thanks for calling us back.
Take care.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Well, how about that?
Yeah, cool guy, man.
God, he's
terrific.
It's funny. In the last few hours, we've talked to two people who I would love to trade places with.
Lorenzo Lamas.
Imagine,
oh, man.
You know, think about this. God. Imagine if you could combine Lorenzo Lamas with Mark Cuban.
Oh, I know.
The best characteristics of those two sons of bitches.
And keep both their bank accounts. Merge them.
Take Cuban's personality and his business acumen and put it in Lorenzo Lamas's body.
Brother.
Oh, my God.
God almighty.
That's got to be the perfect male right there.
Oh, man.
The worst part, truly, is that I mean, it's real friends here.
I'm not sure I'm going to ever see him again.
I'm never going to see him again.
I want you two to kiss each other.
Shortly after college, Cuban moved to Dallas, found work with the new IBM PC software dealer. He was fired for choosing to make a sales call to close a $10,000 software deal instead of opening the store on time. You know, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Cuban founded a new company, Micro Solutions. And isn't that actually the kind of decision that shows you that sort of entrepreneurial mind?
Right, right. Sure, absolutely. That's why they're highlighting it.
There are a lot of anal jackasses who would go, I got to open the store. We'll get back to you on this deal.
Yeah.
He founded a new company, Micro Solutions, was able to convince some of his previous customers to come along. The Micro Solutions became a system integrator and reseller for companies such as Novell, 3Com, IBM, blah, blah, blah. Early adopter of technologies such as Carbon Copy, Lotus Notes, and CompuServe. One of the company's biggest clients was Perot Systems. In July of 1990, he sold Micro Solutions to CompuServe, then a subsidiary of H&R Block for $6 million. Cuban and fellow Indiana alum Todd Wagner still eagerly followed their basketball team and conceived the idea of broadcasting live games and events through the Internet. They began AudioNet in 95 with a single Packard Bell server and ISDN line, which became Broadcast.com in 98. They achieved success by broadcasting sporting and corporate events much less expensively than with existing leased lines. By 99, now in the middle of the dot-com boom, he was able to sell the company to Yahoo for $5.7 billion in stock.
God almighty.
After the sale, Cuban hedged his position in Yahoo in an attempt to avoid exposure to a market crash.
Wow.
Son of a bitch.
Wow, man.
So the Dallas Mavericks are just literally like one-twentieth of his fortune.
Oh, yeah, it's just a toy. Yeah, sure.
Because I think he bought them for $260 million.
God.
And that would be about 1/20th of $5 billion.
Look what he did for that franchise too.
Oh yeah,
turned them into.
Yeah, it was not in good shape by any means.
No. Plus, shows you what spending money will do and caring about your squad.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's a great owner.
Yeah.